Hey guys, welcome back to the Evan and Caitlin podcast, the podcast where you are just code in a grand simulation.
Wait, that's not our theme song.
Hi guys, let's jump into things.
Are we rusty? What's happening?
I think that like life's just been a lot recently, or a lot has been a lot.
Lot's been a lot.
And our brains are a little bit...
Well, it's like, you know, just normal work and life stuff is enough to juggle. And then you have to think about toilet paper shortages and like prepping enough food for 2 weeks.
Yeah, we've tried not to give in to any of the panic. We're not stockpiling ridiculous amounts of stuff, but it is like...
But we are doing a little bit, you know, we're like prepping a couple extra frozen meals, which I typically do anyway. Like I like, you know, we like making meals that we can cook extra of and then freeze stuff like pasta sauces or soups and stews or like taco filling and things like that.
I think it's just interesting that one thing I've realized recently is that like we kind of live our life on like a very thin margin in how much time we have to deal with things that come up. And by very thin margin, I mean
like there's not really any additional time to give when stuff comes up. And for anyone who is maybe listening to this, you know, weeks or months or years later, it's currently March of 2020. So all the coronavirus stuff is going on right now, you know, just in case someone's binge watching and they're like, what?
What's going on? What's happening?
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's what's going on.
Yeah. It's just hard. It's hard to edit. You know, I'm like trying to edit a video we just finished recording right now, but I'm also like, you know, I got stuff to make that like pork chili verde. I need to go prep that pork chili verde, you know, and like, it's, I don't know. I mean, like we said, we're not like panicking about it or anything crazy, but we're trying to be responsible.
Well, I think there's another aspect of it for me too. One thing, well, I think for both of us, one thing that's going on is as we keep on making YouTube videos, I feel like we have to a certain degree started to understand what makes for a good video. We don't, it's not a guarantee, but like, I feel like we have like the correct combination of elements, like materials, tools, title, thumbnail, like concept. It has to like make you feel things. It has to maybe confuse you a little bit. There's like a bajillion things that are like going into our calculations where before we were just kind of like, all right, it's been a while since we did a woodworking video. What's a woodworking thing we can do? Oh, let's do an entryway table. It's like that was kind of somewhat of our thought process. But now I feel like as we get somewhat of a handle on what we feel would make a good video for our channel, coming up with those ideas is becoming harder.
Yeah. Are you transitioning away from
coronavirus?
Yeah,
well, it's just another thing on our mind because we don't have... our video idea for our next video done.
Yeah, we don't, which is really stressful. We really don't like not having our next video idea figured out because a lot of times we have to order materials and supplies and tools, and sometimes you can get it, you know, in 2 days. Sometimes you can't get it in 2 days.
Yeah. Yeah. And I know that, like, you know, we often don't talk about all of this because it just, like, we worry that it's complaining. But I think it's just, like, a lot has been getting to us, and we like being honest with you guys. And so here we are, being honest. And I think another thing that I realized is as we've stopped doing as many videos, we're not doing a video every week. Mm-hmm. We're kind of averaging like two videos, then a break, because we just don't have the next video ready, and we need to like work at a pace that's reasonable for us.
And related back to what you're talking about brainstorming and the ideas we're choosing to do, because we're spending more time brainstorming to come up with what we think is a better video, and we're not just rushing into it, that's part of what leads to the videos being slightly more spaced out.
Yeah, but that also means that each video has more pressure on it.
Yes.
Because we just don't want to like waste a video when we know that like if we think long and hard enough, we can come up with that video idea that like is really worth the 80 hours we put into it instead of just saying like, oh, this one's like a 3-star idea. Let's just do that. We have a ranking system for our ideas.
We do.
1 through 5 stars.
Yes.
If it's not a 1-star, it's just gone. Like,
yeah.
Like 1 is an okay idea that needs more work. 2 is like a little bit better. 3 is like in the running. Yeah. 4 is like we definitely want to do it.
And 5 is like we're doing it now.
Right now. Yeah. Yeah. So I think that that's kind of how our idea ranking system works. But it just seems like it's been a lot. Our like to-do list is huge.
It's so big.
And yeah, the coronavirus adding stuff on, not it's having so our next video planned. It's just we're at like a place, guys.
We're at a place.
Another thing that I've been thinking about a lot, which basically, okay, we didn't even do the intro the best. We didn't do an overview. We didn't say what topic we're talking about today.
What do you want to tell the people what topic we're talking about?
Yeah,
today?
The topic we're talking about is how video games are like life,
or how life is like a video game,
or how life is like a video game, and it's been a topic that's been on my mind a lot. I think because Caitlin handles the editing of our main videos, and I handle like the running of our gaming channel, the majority of it. Mm-hmm. And Caitlin helps out a lot, like talking with editors, helping them figure out how to tweak the edits.
Still and mostly you.
A lot of things. But I kind of have been putting a lot of thought into what games we should play, what games make for good streams, what has the right balance where we can interact, like that will like the game will prompt us to interact and have fun moments that might surprise us, that like has a good enough pace, but also we can pause and interact with the chat in a way that doesn't like hurt the gameplay and everything like that. So there's just a lot of things that balance, kind of like as we've been working on our main channel videos and we've been refining how to make those videos, I've been kind of working on like what the best games to stream are, how to play them, how to balance these three things that we get from playing games. We stream it live with like 200 and something people. Then we upload the uncut where people watch the whole thing, and then that gets turned into a highlight. So when we do it, we'd like to be optimized to the point where people watching it live enjoy it. People who watch the entire recording aren't bored by us just interacting with the chat afterwards. And we are not like just talking to the live audience while interesting things are happening that the editors will need to edit to make mm-hmm. the game good.
Who knew playing video games like required still, so much thinking?
It's still so enjoyable, and I can't wait to play more video games and stream
it's super
it.
Fun.
But it's just been like a lot to balance. And I think one thing that I've been thinking about as I've been thinking about these video games is how they relate to life a lot. And basically, I just wanted to chat with you about how video games are like life and how life is like video games, and just like have a little bit of a fun discussion about it. I don't really have a point. I just want to explore it. And I want to bring up some like interesting points that I think are interesting at least, and then just get your thoughts.
I don't have a point. I just want to bring up some interesting points.
lots of small points.
Not
no
one big point.
Like agenda that I'm trying to like get to or anything like that. And I think that like as I've been thinking about what makes a good video game, I've just been finding parallels to life in
like,
a way.
Like things that might lead to a good video game also might be things that lead to a good life.
Yeah, and like how to play video games in a way relates to things that I think might be good ways to live your life in strange ways. So anyways, like one thought that I had is how in video games, you need to be challenged. If video games are just 100% easy, it's
boring.
You lose some things about life that are enjoyable. You lose some things about games that are enjoyable. Like if you play a video game on full easy mode with all cheats, like one video game that we play, that there's a lot of grinding involved. And grinding, for those of you guys who don't play video games too much, is like just putting in the time, putting in the effort, and just putting in lots of time so you get incremental rewards more and more and more. And I kind of see a lot of that in Diablo, where it's a role-playing game where you're like a digital character. You start at level 0, and as you fight bad guys, your level increases. You get more skills. You get items. You get loot. You get all these things that make you more powerful.
But if you started at that powerful level, and you started at level 0 of the game,
yeah,
it probably wouldn't be super fun because you're just like, oh,
and you just kill everything. Nothing can hurt you. Like if you started Diablo, this game that we like, as like a really powerful, super cheated person, then you would not enjoy the game. The game is fun because there's a struggle. You want something, you get rewarded with it, and the effort you're putting in and the reward you get back is kind of like what's fun about life.
Well, in a way. Yeah.
I'm mixing life and video games a lot.
Yeah. So I think like the parallels to life are, for example, when you think of people who never have to work a day in their lives, you know, like they inherit money or whatever it is, like from the outside, that could look like it's just the most awesome thing. You don't have to work. That sounds great. But then a lot of times those people end up kind of depressed.
Yeah.
You know, because without having to work for anything, it feels like there's no meaning. And that reminds me of there was a TED Talk once that was about like happiness is relative. So if you don't have struggles in life, you don't really feel happiness also. Like you need that comparison. Yeah, you need that contrast in order to like feel it. And it's kind of like that with the game too, but I think using the games as a structure but relating it back to life is the more interesting way to think about it.
I mean, there's this, like, one of the things that made me think about it is I was listening to a podcast or an audiobook actually about the oil field and how, like, the history of it, there's all sorts of things going on, lots of shady moments and everything. And one of the stories that they told was of this oil baron and his rich son who had like millions of dollars, and like they talked about his life and the corruption that he was part of and everything. But like when they were describing his life, they weren't trying to make the point that it was a depressing life, but like hearing about his life and like the way he spent his money and his time and how he was always upset and never satisfied. It was so interesting because he never had to struggle. None of his successes were really because of him. And it just seemed really depressing, honestly, hearing about this like ultra rich person's life who was like the son of a dictator of a country. Like, one, that's just a sad situation because there shouldn't be dictators, and that's a whole nother thing. But like, honestly, this guy's life, I didn't feel anything but like pity for this guy. I don't know.
Yeah.
And this made me think about video games. If like you started a video game and that's the only video game you could play, but you had all the cheat codes enabled, like how would that be fun?
Yeah. There'd be like a novelty of it for a few minutes and then I'm bored.
Yeah. Another way I've thought about like role-playing games and like Diablo and how that relates to life is when Caitlin and I were starting our Evan and Caitlin brand and our business and everything like that, we decided that for an extended period of time, we were going to push beyond what was regular, what was normal for people to put in.
You mean in terms of effort? Okay, yeah, in terms of like our work and effort. Yeah.
In terms of our work and effort, that was going to be like our intense grind period.
Yeah, of like about, we expected like a year or two to like really get things off the ground. And
it was like 2 years of hard grind. Then we had a little period where things were a little bit more calm, and then it got harder again, but that's...
There's always going to be, it's never just like a continuous slope. There's like little ups and downs on a trending path.
Yeah. But like it made me think of when you're playing like a game like Diablo, like a role-playing game, where when like you are level 5 or something, it's best to like fight against level 5 bad guys. But if you're a level 5 like player, like a sorcerer or whatever, and you're fighting level 5 bad guys, you're only leveling up at a certain pace. But if you go like way outside of your comfort zone, way outside of where you should be, and you start battling like level 10, level 15,
you're going to grow a lot faster.
Bad guys, you're going to grow a lot faster. And I think that's kind of the situation we put ourselves in. We put ourselves like, like growing as a person, you grow at a certain rate. But if you put yourself like way outside of your comfort zone, if you put yourself like, if you like, it's one thing that I did a lot. I was just like accepting talks at conventions. So I was like, yeah, convention, let's give a speech there. That's something we've never done before. I'm sure we can figure that out. That was like us accepting like a difficulty that was much harder than we were ready for, so that we could grow a lot faster. And I feel like that's something that we did a ton in our life while we were starting Evan and Caitlin. And it just like really made me think about video games in a way. I don't know if this is a normal thing. I might just be like a weirdo relating them a lot, but I kind of.
Well, I mean, just using that talk example. So we were at about 40,000 subscribers when we gave our first talk.
Yeah.
And everyone else giving talks was at in the like 200 to 2 million.
Yeah.
200,000 to 2 million subscribers range. So that kind of shows like a very like concrete like
level differential.
Power level.
Yeah.
like differential. Yeah, exactly. But yeah, it is interesting because like you said, those are the things that help you grow faster. Whether it's like, I mean, for us, business and personal are very interconnected.
Mm-hmm.
But you could apply it to both.
Well, I think that the reason why I often use video games in my mind to make sense of life in a way is because life is really complicated. It's like there aren't any rules. There aren't any like clear definitions of how life works.
I mean, there's some rules. There's like don't murder people.
There are rules, but like there's always exceptions to all rules too. You know?
Do murder people?
I don't know. There are situations where, like,
I'm just teasing you.
In the world, I don't know. I don't want to get into that. But, like, you know, it's like life is really complicated. And in video games, there are very strict rules. Everything is based off of math. Everything is, like, there are lots of best practices and everything. And I don't know. I like systems that make sense as an engineer. I like math. I like rules. I like physics. And in terms of like real life things, there aren't any of that. It's kind of like with YouTube. There's no rules. There's no best practices. I mean, there are, but then there are the people breaking them that are killing it.
I would say there's no guarantees.
There's no guarantees.
There's rules. There's best practices, but there's no guarantees.
But like people are saying, longer videos are good now, but like also short videos are great. Some people are saying put a ton of time and effort and polish into your thumbnails. And other people are saying, no, leave your thumbnails very raw so they look like they're a screenshot. And of course, it has to be something interesting. So it's like you can't just like.
But I guess like for me, it's I'm thinking more broadly. I'm thinking have a good thumbnail.
Mm.
That's a rule. Or a best practice. Or yeah. That would be a best practice. A rule would be like, don't break terms of service. You know? Yeah. So, like, there are rules and best practices, but I think, like, they are so broad and can be really vague. Like, make good content.
Yeah.
And then as soon as you try to get more specific to something that would actually be useful, that's where what you're saying comes in, where there's like a billion exceptions and a billion different nested best practices that where like you can't just like pick a path and follow it and there's no guarantee.
But like other games that I've thought of and how they relate to life. Another thing that I thought of are real-time strategy games. And for those of you non-gamers, I'll explain it real quick. This is one of my favorite types of games. You build a base, and most real-time strategy games, you start out with a little base, you have your main structure, then you have like your resource gathering people, and then you build more structures that let you create little army units, and you move them around the map, and usually the objective is to destroy the other team's base before they destroy yours. And it's really interesting because like, the big balance in those games is you want to build up your base as soon as you can so that you can make more units faster and defend it against attacks. But also, if you put all of your time and effort into like just building up your base, the other person's going to attack you too soon and you won't be ready. Or if you like, it's just like there's a lot of balancing in these real-time strategy
games. Balancing like your offense and your defense.
Yeah.
And your resource gathering versus your resource using.
And like balancing like how much do you research technology versus just producing units. How like all of these things. And I think that I see a lot of parallels in real-time strategy games to business also. Like another example I thought of is like you want to explore the map as soon as possible and scout out what opportunities and resources are around you and what dangers there are. And I just think about like our business and our Evan and Caitlin business and how a lot of those like similar thoughts happened to us. We're like, well, do we get the most expensive camera right away, or do we get a cheap camera, learn on it, figure out what is important for us to get in our more expensive camera? Like, do we just start pumping out content that's just like volume, or do we like put more time into enhancing its quality, you know? And there's a balancing act in all of that too.
Everything comes at a cost.
Because everything comes
at a
cost.
Like, there's all these different balancing acts, and if you put more energy into one, you're taking away energy from the other because they're like in direct competition of each other.
Yeah. I don't know. It's kind of interesting. And like, I've always thought, like, another thought that I've had around all these thoughts that I have is like,
that's a great sentence.
It's like, am I just justifying my obsession with video games by finding parallels in life?
No, I think everyone tries to make sense of life in various ways.
Yeah.
And I think this is a way that it started with you, but like, you've brought me into it. and I like fully see it now. And now we find like parallels all the time. Yeah. So I think it's just normal to want to try to process things. You're normal. You're super normal. I love you.
Thank you. I love you. Another type of game that I've thought about a lot in terms of, oh, sorry.
I think before, because I think like you're kind of rushing through game types, but I think the more interesting thing is to think of,
well,
like,
I was wanting to finish all the game types, then we could use all those game types to talk about how they relate to our life and how they relate to people's lives in general. And then we can look through all of the different game types and then like apply it to life.
Okay.
The last game that I kind of thought about is adventure games like Zelda. You know, you're an adventurer, there's story, there's like you're exploring and you're finding details and you're solving puzzles. And how I thought about that is like, adventure games need to keep a certain pace, because if like the puzzles are too hard, you get frustrated and you don't like the game.
Or I think that kind of is kind of similar to what you said about the RPG.
Strategy. Yeah.
No, RPG.
Oh, RPG.
If it's like too hard, it's too frustrating.
Yeah.
If it's too easy, it's too boring. I think when it comes to like pace, it's more about, is it too much of the same thing? So like a lot of adventure games, there's fighting and there's puzzles. If you're doing fighting, and there's not enough puzzles, it might, like, the fighting might start to get kind of repetitive.
Especially if there's only limited bad guys and you're only doing the same things, and it's repetitive. Yeah.
Yeah. And vice versa too. Like, if you're just doing puzzles and you want to like get to some action, and especially if the puzzles are similar, it can get kind of like redundant.
Yeah. And like the parallel that we've had in that example to life is like how it's interesting to mix up your life. It's interesting to like, if you've been doing the same job for a long period of time, you might be interested in changing jobs. If you've been doing the same, like, I don't know, some people don't get tired of hobbies or sports they watch or what have you, but like, I don't know, I think that there's a lot of times in life where you've been doing the same thing for a while and you want to mix it up.
Maybe you've been not having a cat for your for a whole life and you're like, I want to mix it up, and then you get a cat and that's a great decision. Or maybe you've been having one cat your whole life and you're like, I want to mix it up, and you get two
whole
cats.
Bunch of cats.
Or, 200 cats.
Okay, so those are the main types of games that I thought of. And I even looked, like, right before this podcast, I was looking through all the different types of games there are, and I just didn't see that many parallels in the other games.
Well, this is, like, three kind of widely applicable
ones. Yeah, like, I wasn't able to find too many parallels in life in fighting games.
When you're fighting someone, you need to block and punch. I guess maybe it depends on your life. We don't do much physical fighting.
Yeah, not much physical fighting. Or like platformers like Mario and stuff. Mm. Like,
I mean, I do enjoy jumping.
I do.
And going from left to right.
But like, I wasn't, like, in a lot of the other types of games, I wasn't able to find too many to like glean life lessons from.
Ooh, you know, it would be one interesting thing to look at.
What's that?
And this you mostly find in kind of like open world games, which can or like different levels of open worldness, because there are some games like Minecraft that is 100% open. Yes, there's some rules, but it's not telling you do this first and then do this and then do that. And then there's some games like, you know, Zelda, even though I know like Breath of the Wild, it was a little bit more open, but like past Zelda games where it's like, you do this temple and then you do this temple and then you do this temple and there's an order. It won't let you go out of order. And then there are things that are kind of in between, like when we played The Last of Us, that's a zombie game. It is guiding you, but it doesn't feel like it's guiding you. Like, you feel like you're choosing to go down this path in the forest, but actually there's just a lot of like psychological tricks that they have used on you to make you choose that path. And if you really tried to just like be escape contrary, the
game, yeah.
Yeah, like it wouldn't work, but like it, you feel like you're choosing your own way.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that would be interesting. Like, it's kind of like when you have your own business, there's no one telling you, like, you got to do this, and then you got to do this, and then you got to do this.
And I think that shows, like, personalities. Like, certain people like certain types of games. Certain people like strong direction, and they know what to do. They do it. They get the objective. They get that accomplishment where it says, check, move on to the next thing. And some people like the open world games, like Minecraft, that can be...
Or open world life.
Open world life, yeah. Like, you know, and that mainly be... One example is the two of us, which are like completely open world. We can do whatever we want. Wait, we can do whatever we want? What do we want to do?
let's just mine sand because we never know when we're going to need glass. No, I don't know. So that would be another.
It's so easy to mix like the life and video game analogies. You know, I was just talking about life and you're talking about video games. You know. It happens.
Yeah.
But it's kind of like Minecraft. One reason why I think that we like it so much is it's a mix of a lot of our genres. There are like quests that we give ourselves, like let's find sunken ships and sunken treasure. Or there's like base building, which we like. Or there's like, you know, developing your character and grinding and getting gear, getting that diamond armor, getting that enchanted sword and everything.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah. It's like a good fit. I don't know where I was going with that in terms of a point.
Yeah, but I think the interesting thing is how, like, those different styles also apply to life. I'm trying to think of one that is, like, the middle style where it feels kind of open, but there are goals and there are...
Oh, like a parallel between games like that and life?
Mm-hmm. I mean, because maybe what we're doing is actually that.
We think that we have the choice, but really we're being guided by the system.
Yeah.
And social media.
Yeah. Yeah. So maybe and
like
we're
our
that.
Responsibilities as a business to like
make money. Yeah. And pay our bills.
Yeah. You're right. It's not completely open source because, or like open world, because if it was completely open world and we could do literally whatever we wanted to without any pressures on us, then yeah, we would maybe live our lives a little bit differently. Would make less videos, probably.
I think, yeah, we would just put less stress on ourselves.
Less stress on ourselves.
I think we'd still be doing a similar things, just, like, at a slower pace.
Well, I guess it's, like, kind of like in Minecraft, there's the hunger system. So that's, like, a system in place that forces you to do certain things that's regularly.
True. That's true.
You know, or, like...
The sleep system.
We were playing this, like, scary adventure game called The Forest, where, like, you have hunger, you have thirst, you, like, can get too cold if you swim in like rivers at night and you need to huddle by a fire, like but at the same time we can go wherever we want on the island and, you know, have whatever adventures we want, but like I think life is kind of like video games, just like that, you know. It's like you have certain restrictions on your life that you have to like be responsible and take care of, but I don't know, it's interesting. I think that one thing that's I almost said interesting again. But one thing I noticed while we've been talking about games and how I related to life and everything like that is I think that I have been doing things like this for a long time with everything, not just like games, but also books. Like when I read books and when I like, this has been for a long time, I've always thought about like, can I gain any life lessons from this book? I know it's weird. And I've been doing that since I was like, young, like
Yeah.
Before I was like 10 or something like that, I'd always like look at characters that I liked and say like, what did I like about that person? And why did I not like this person? And do I want to be like either of them? And like, what type of person do I want to be? And I've been thinking about that for like people I meet, people I like encounter in books and stories. And I've always like thought that like we aren't static as people and we can change and we can change our lives. And since we can change as people and we can change our lives, what type of person do I want to be and what type of life do I want to live? And that's kind of like a big question to tackle, and I'm still doing it.
Yeah. You are definitely more introspective than the average kid that young. I definitely had similar thoughts. I think like they probably started hitting me more around middle school.
Mm-hmm.
This was going kind of off topic, but I think like one, well, I mean, I'm sure that a lot of people have similar thoughts, but I think personally for me, one reason I would often like very actively have those kind of thoughts, and it wasn't so much like, it wasn't so much reacting off of characters for, you know, exactly. But I think because we both moved a lot,
mm-hmm.
every time you move, it's an opportunity to reinvent yourself.
It's like new chapters in the game.
Yeah.
Or it's like new save games.
Or it's like a new game.
Like a new game. Yeah, it's a new game. It's like,
it's like starting a new character in Diablo.
It's like starting a new character. That's it. You can like change your outfit. You can change your class. You can change like what types of skills you're pursuing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. So all of a sudden I just started shopping at Hot Topic. It was just like, corresponded with a move.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's so interesting, starting a new character.
Yeah. Which I guess would be one benefit of moving a lot. Because I think, like, you can, of course, make changes to yourself without going through a drastic change of location. But yeah. I do think it's maybe harder when your surroundings aren't changing to change yourself also.
Yeah. It is like starting a new character. I'm thinking of all the parallels in my head. I don't want to say them all because they're kind of obvious and everything, but
or you can like, you know, instead of going down the path of learning all the fire moves, you're like, well, this time I'm gonna learn all the ice moves.
Caitlin and I, whenever we play role-playing games, we're both wizards.
Oh yeah,
those are our favorite classes. So we're not always. we're not like let's go down the rage path or let's go down the archer path. We're like, what elemental powers do we want this time around?
is true. Yeah.
But like, I think that the main ways I think that all of these thoughts can apply to like people in general and everything is like,
maybe we could like wrap it up into like life lessons. We have pulled from video games that could be widely applicable potentially or might like spark ideas.
Okay. One, if you want to grow faster and you feel comfortable with that, get outside of your comfort zone.
AKA get outside your character level.
Get outside of your character level. Yeah. And I think that really does lead to like very increased like development.
Yep.
With your skills, with like your, like who you are. Like you'll learn what you like and what you don't like. Like if you live the same life all the time, that's totally cool. Like some people don't like pushing and rapid change and what have you. But if you live your same life and you don't go to that trivia night and meet new people, if you don't quit your job for that other job that you've been super excited about for the longest time, if you don't go up to that girl that you've been crushing on for the longest time and like ask her for her number or something. It's been a long time since I dated. How do you do it these days? Do you like message someone on like TikTok or something? I don't know. Do you comment on TikTok? Like, yo, I like your style.
You slide into the DMs.
You slide into the DMs.
Yeah.
It's been a while since I dated.
Well, back when we were dating, there was like Facebook.
Yeah. And you just like,
was Instagram around yet? I don't know. Like not like when we were dating, but like when we were like previously dating in our younger years.
And stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. Also, like, you had my number and we were friends on Facebook and we had been friends for
our 5 years. Dating situation is like very non-standard. It's like become friends for 4 years,
five years,
and then one day confess your feelings for each other.
Totally standard path.
Totally standard.
But yeah, okay, so that's a good
Push yourself outside of your general comfort zone. You'll grow faster and you'll et cetera. I think idea two is continual balancing. I think that's like kind of from the real-time strategy, because there is no like single balance. Like as you're exploring and scoping the map, you see that there's a whole bunch of people coming your way. You're like, oh, I need to put a whole bunch of time and resources into defenses, you know? Or if you don't see them coming, you can say like, oh, I can upgrade my technology.
One way to think about that's kind of like a broad view maybe, is like being proactive versus reactive.
Yeah.
In your life. Because if you're constantly, like if you're being proactive and you ignore things that you might need to be reactive to, that could be bad.
Yeah.
But if you're only reactive, then you're like constantly battling without ever like reaping any long-term gains.
Yeah. So I think that's lesson three actually. So like put outside your comfort zone. One, be proactive versus reactive. I think that's really good. But kind of what I was thinking is like continually readjust. You know what I mean? Like in December when ad rates are up for us and we're getting a ton of sponsors, we might do more videos. You know, like we might adjust that balance.
We haven't yet, but we might.
But like you know, like adjust that balance. And then in January where ad rates are lower and there aren't as many sponsors,
build our resources.
Less videos, you know? So, but like continually be balancing, and then like, you know, like be proactive versus reactive. I think that's like another thing, but also like, you know, in terms of the balancing for us in particular and for, you know, people in general, like look at your life and see how you need to rebalance it. Like we are continually looking at our lives and we're like, are we burning out? Are we in the process of like completely losing what we like love about our work? Because we never want to get to that point. Mm-hmm. And we say, okay, we need to pull back on videos, or like, let's pull back on video games because like that's been taken away from like our life and in other ways. Or like, has it been a year since we saw our friends? Yes, it has. We should probably message our friends and, you know, keep those relationships alive, you know, but like continually rebalancing, I think is one lesson.
Yeah. I mean, we're very protective of the situation we're in and the enjoyment we get from the situation we're in. And the situation, I mean, like, you know, being able to work together and make videos and play video games and, you know, make podcasts and all these different things that we do, like we really love it. And so we're super protective of it. So we analyze it a lot.
Yeah. Lesson four, play to your strengths and complement other people's strengths. Mm-hmm. That's kind of like a lesson from like role-playing games. Like I know Caitlin and I both like being mages every time because they're fun and we just blast things apart, but like a more ideal combination might be like a mage and a paladin, because like as a paladin I could be up front taking damage and healing Caitlin, and she could be like the main damage DPS outputter.
Well, I would say even when we are both mages, usually one of us will do range and one of us will do like close combat,
so we still do like, you know, divide and you know, specialize. And kind of like that's what we've done with our business, where it's like the balance we've developed has like kind of naturally developed. As Caitlin did editing, like I would look at our to-do list and see what I can do while Caitlin's editing. So I like, you know, took on some responsibilities. And then while I'm designing things, Caitlin looks at to-do list. And like over time, I just like started repeatedly doing some things and Caitlin started repeatedly doing some things. And we both developed into specialists of what we do.
Mm-hmm.
And so we kind of like split tasks, divide and conquer, and play to each other's strengths in like a really good way, and that naturally evolved. I'm not really sure where I'm going with that.
Divide and conquer. Play to your strengths.
Yeah, that's lesson four of
an unknown amount of lessons.
Of an unknown amount of lessons we have gained from video games. Choosing games that are not too hard, not too easy. That probably is just still relating back to push yourself outside your comfort zone.
I think it's related, but I think it's kind of like know yourself and know what level of challenge you are cool with, and know that like you probably need some level of challenge in order to like feel more success. Like, because I think that the thought is like, man, I wish I could just like, you know, be on my phone all day or watch movies all day and not really do anything and still not have to worry about money. And yeah, like, man, that would be the life.
But is that the point of life? Just to have everything easy and just to like indulge forever?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I don't think so. But
yeah, not for us in particular. For some people,
for some people, maybe.
We're not judging anyone's choice
like,
in life.
I think it's like, know yourself and don't just assume that that is like the happiest path.
Okay, so that's rule five, and it's linked to one in a way.
Okay.
Like, putting yourselves outside your comfort zone really helps you grow, but also like be aware of the balance between easy mode and hard mode and what each brings.
Mm-hmm.
Because easy mode is easier, it is more chill, but like I'm sure that like everyone who's listening has had a weekend where you just binge watch videos all day every day for the whole weekend. Mm-hmm. And have like 2 days where you just do nothing except for like binge watch a show or something.
Mm-hmm.
We had one day like that 4 years ago.
We did.
But I think that like at the end of that day, I think something that we think of is like, do we feel good about that time? And sometimes it's yes, but sometimes it's no. I don't know. And depending on what type of person you are, it'll more likely to be yes or no.
Yeah.
Are we stretching now?
Maybe. Well, I don't know.
Well, I think that kind of like might be a good place to end it. We have like five life lessons gained from video games.
That's a good title. Maybe we should have structured this podcast more like that.
I don't know.
Sorry if we got a little repetitive.
Our brains were only so functioning when we did this with podcast. It's like usually we record the podcast like a little bit earlier. It's Saturday. We're publishing this in 2 days. We're like, oh, we got to do the podcast.
Yeah, it's almost dinner time.
Yeah, and I think that this is another reason why we are considering like why we have pulled back on the amount of content we're putting out and why we are constantly reevaluating things as a business and as people, because we want to be able to make the best content that we have or we can. And not saying that this isn't good content, not that I'm not proud of this. I like this idea. I've been wanting to talk to you about these concepts for a while. But like, you know, if we had have had a little bit more time, hadn't have like maybe if we had have put more structure into it.
If we hadn't been brain dead all week because like the everything.
Everything.
Because the everything.
Not getting enough sleep and everything.
Yeah.
But that's why like, I don't know. I don't really know where I was going with this, but one of the things we are considering in the future is continually readjusting our difficulty settings, readjusting our balance of like output and quantity and quality, but like we might.
Oh, and relating back, like, okay, so like we mentioned, we've pulled back in the past few months to doing like two videos and then we'll take a buffer and two videos and then we'll take a buffer. Before that, it was three videos a buffer. Before that, we were just doing a video every single week. And before that, there was some months where we would do 5 or 6 videos. And during those times, like when we push, you know, assuming all other things are equal, like let's say our past 5 videos, instead of them fitting into 2 months, if all that was fit into 1 month, yeah, our numbers would be better. We would be making more income. You know, like we would be quote unquote leveling up faster. But that's not always the priority, and it's not always like a long-term strategy.
Yeah.
Which is why now we're like trying to work more closely to our skill level and not push ourselves too much, because we don't want to burn out.
Well, but also like real-time strategy games, like right now we have like a really awesome base with Evan and Caitlin main channel. But like we're working on our second base that's in a really interesting strategic position, and it's very small. It's not super powerful yet, but like it's really well positioned, and I see huge potential for that in the future.
Yeah. So how much resources do we take from our main channel to the game and put them to the gaming channel to like feed it?
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know, baby.
But yeah, that's another balance that we have going on.
Yeah, there's a lot.
But anyways, don't worry about us. We're totally fine. I know that we kind of rambled a lot about
we did get a little rambly and a little, I don't know.
How things are like difficult and everything. But
we're good though. Like I'm so excited to like finish this edit that I'm working on, because like the video that's coming out this week, I think you guys are really gonna like. We've been really enjoying the gaming channel, and like we just found a new game that we're super excited about playing, and like,
and our to-do list is going down, and we are gonna like adjust the difficulty setting of our game. It does take a while for that setting to kick in, because we do schedule like 2 to 3 months out. But like we'll get through this, and we are going to keep on like tweaking our lives until it is how we like it. Then we're just going to keep on tweaking it. Yeah. All right. I think it's time for a thing of the week. My thing of the week is the Go XLR. I know I talk about podcast and streaming things a lot on this podcast, but it's another soundboard.
How many soundboards are we up to?
Sound devices? We're up to 3.
I just want to share that.
So one mixes...
I'm just giving you a hard time.
The game sounds. One mixes our two voices, and the Go XLR like mixes the computer and the stream and all of that. So it's just another interesting device. I think it'd be good for a single person podcast or single person streamer. I think that's like it's a really good device for that. It has a lot of advanced features that I'm still very much figuring out.
It has a really great auto-tune squirrel mode, which I enjoy.
That's a really great demon. Anyways, like I originally got it because I wanted to tweak our voices live while we're streaming, and it has a lot of those effects, but also it's also been really nice because it has a software element too. You can do like noise gates, you can tweak all the mics, you can do equalizers, compressors, like de-essers. There's like all you can do sampling, you can route things in all sorts of different ways, and it's just like it's a lot. It's a little bit intimidating at the same time, but it's something that I'm excited to like keep on messing with and figuring out and leveling up our technology to the next level.
Yeah.
Anyways, what's your thing of the week?
Toilet paper. I kid. My thing of the week, this is not a new video, but it is a video that we are in. So you guys know at this point, I don't know by the time this podcast comes out how much we will have shared, but we have shared that we're doing a project with our air cannon. And it's a cannon that we built for a collab, so it's never been on our channel before, but we built it for a collab with the Modern Rogue, and in that video, we bust out our original cannon, the propane cannon, and this solenoid-triggered air cannon, and we try to destroy things and realize how tough pumpkins are.
Pumpkins are very tough. Always use watermelons if you're going for a dramatic explosion.
Always use watermelons.
Watermelons are great. Pumpkins are so tough.
So tough. This was around Halloween. Hence all the pumpkins.
Yeah. So it was like November 2018.
Yeah. But I think we filmed it around Halloween.
Yeah. Somewhere around there.
Anyways, Modern Rogues channel. The video title is Building a Solenoid Triggered Air Cannon. We'll link to it in our description.
Well, guys, thanks for tuning in to another podcast episode. I hope you guys are having a wonderful day. I hope the settings of your game are set properly, that it's not too difficult, that you're exploring an interesting area of life, that...
But know that you can change those settings or switch games.
Yeah, start a new save. Your adventure awaits. And we'll look forward to seeing you next time.
Bye.